Church, everyone, on a beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. After the last couple of days of weather we've had, we should enjoy this evening. I would ask you, first of all, to register your attendance. They'll be passing out attendance pads. If you'll fill out your Bibles and pass that down to your neighbor in the pew. And now we're going to recognize any first-time visitors this morning. Any first-time visitors in the section to my left? Any first-time visitors this morning? Any first-time visitors in the section in the middle here? All right, how about in the right? Hey, everybody. All right. Let's go to our announcements this morning. Lots of things going on. We've got barbecue supper coming up at the end of the month. Do we have any announcements that yes? Tuesday the 5th at 7 o'clock here. Right. Any other announcements this morning we need to have brought to our attention?
And they are meeting on Tuesday to leave Wednesday free. And on Wednesday night, we're going to study. Some people were, they may have been confused last week or didn't know that we were going to leave. We met last week and began the process of clarifying some of the ideas, dreams, and visions that people had shared previously. On this board here, we left it out caught up in your attention this morning, are ideas, dreams, and visions in different areas that people shared pre-Easter. We came together and studied and prayed and dreamed together and discussed together. On this board, over here, we took Wednesday night kind of as a practice. We took education / discipleship. In the under that, we picked up all of the cards that had been written relating to education or discipleship and put them in the middle. Now, around the outer edge, these cards and all of the other yellow or orange cards are ideas, suggestions that Reverend George Estes left in his report. I think I found about 40 little suggestions or big suggestions that he suggested in his report a year ago when he came and spent the weekend with us. So those around the outside on this board even are from him and not involved in education or discipleship. But those in the middle are involved in that. The white ones and the yellow and orange ones under education and discipleship. So what we're going to do is try to study the Bible for 20 or 25 minutes and then share together as a large group and talk about each suggestion, idea, dream, vision that people pre-Easter felt that God was leading them to for this church to be involved in. And some of these are just kind of one curriculum. That's a special Bible study that some churches have found very beneficial. So then we will take another heading off this board and go through the same thing and put them all together and try to make a list and then see what we can do. And what I'm saying all this far is, if you can, come Wednesday night. We're going to try to start at 6:40. We tried 6:30 last week, and that was a little early. You eat lunch, eat supper here. So we're going to start at 6:40 here in the sanctuary, and we will talk about these ideas. And then we can still give new ideas as we feel that God is revealing things to us to do. And we'll be studying Exodus chapter 2, 3, and 4. You can actually read chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Exodus. That's what we'll be looking at this Wednesday night. And we'll be here at the sanctuary. Brother Joe will be with us to help us with this, and I'll be doing part of it. And we'll be kind of a team working together. So we invite you on Wednesday night.
Do we have any other announcements this morning? Anything else that needs to bring to our attention?
I followed in the early service. I followed two people begging for the barbecue, and I'm not begging. They're not here now yet. Anybody going to beg for the barbecue?
No.
Then I will just give you the opportunity to help at the barbecue. The portion of the talent show that has been allotted to be supplied by Jacob's members is from 6 to 7. And so if you have a talent or think you have a talent that you would like to share with the community while the bidding and the eating is going on between 6 and 7, let me know and I'll put you on the silent list. And I think we have like tape or CD accompaniment facilities for performance over there, microphones and things. So we can talk about what setup you need and put you on the schedule. So just see me between now and 6 o'clock on the 23rd.
Okay. Carol, you engage me. There's five tickets here to the Southern Women's Show that ends today at the Convention Center downtown. Anybody that wants those are going to be right here on the pulpit. Whoever wants to go, it ends today. Any other announcements this morning? If not, at this time we'll go to our prayer requests. There are several folks that are in need, I'm sure. Do we have anyone we need to add? Any updates? Anyone we need to take off? Prayer requests.
We can update on Bill Simpson. Carol is here this morning. Bill's in the hospital. His prognosis long term is not good. So this up Bill Simpson in your prayer. Joyce and Thomas and Charlie are with us this morning, and Joyce's mother passed away early Friday morning. We are scheduling a memorial service, but first there will be a cremation, and the remains will be shipped back to Ohio for a curve. Am I getting this right? Southern Ohio. There will be a memorial service here on Saturday afternoon, April the 16th at 2 o'clock. Saturday afternoon, April the 16th at 2 o'clock. And basically this is for Joyce and her church friends and her neighborhood friends and the community friends. And so we're going to offer their condolences and we will remember Miss Dee or Miss Marie. Miss Marie is a member of this congregation. She's been for her membership here. Has been with us for a while because she's been in the nursing home. But we want to remember in a respectful way.
Any other prayer concerns? Yes.
With Pam and Carol, a co-worker's son, and prayer that she's got some type of growth at Vanderbilt.
Cameron, Carol. Anyone else this morning? I'm sure many of you this week have been watching what's happened overseas with the Pope at his passing. It's a pretty important fellow. He did a lot for his church and for the world in the terms of love and peace, and I think we need to remember him this morning as well. And as far as anyone has been added this morning, if you will write down on one of the cards there in front of you in the pew and write down their names, we'll get the correct spelling and put that in the offering plate when it's passed so we can add them correctly to the prayer list. And if you would pray for these folks as often as you possibly can. At this time, we're going to pause for a moment of silence as we prepare ourselves for worship. Amen. Peace from the one who is and who was and who was to come, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead.
Our God is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and who was and who is to come.
We are here to worship the eternal God.
And in this we will do.
As we stand and turn in our hymnals to hymn 225, worship Christ, the risen King.
This morning, standing in triumph, not triumph of our own, O Lord, but the triumph of Jesus over death, over the grave. Lord, we see that He did not come and lead an army against Rome. That wasn't His intention, though that was some people's expectation. Lord, we know that He came to be victorious over sin and victorious over Satan, and to give us life eternal through His death and resurrection. Lord, as we come today, we just thank You and praise You and come with gladness and rejoicing, worshiping Christ, the risen King. And we come now praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Now we express our faith in God with our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of your hymnal, or it should be on the wall here. Yes, it is. And if you would join me in it. I believe in God
the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven
and sitteth on the right hand of
God the Father Almighty. From this He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
children's time this morning. If the children will come on down, and if you will stay in the sanctuary, they'll go to children's church today because we're having communion. But if you'll come down for children's time.
Good morning. Oh my goodness, I think we can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. There, you're there. You know what? I was thinking about it this week, you know, how, everybody was so up and everything last Sunday, you know, we were celebrating the resurrection and everything. But you know what? We need to keep that with us every day, all day long. Just, you know, we serve a risen Savior. That's exactly what we do, and not just on Resurrection Sunday. So we need to remember that. And you know, it's really great. There, I found a verse this week that just really touched my heart. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it talks about just how much the Lord loves us. And I don't know about you, but there are always people saying, so what do you do, and who are you, and, you know, what are you all about? And, you know, I thought about all the things that I am. You know, I'm a mother, and I'm a wife, and I'm a daughter, and I'm a granddaughter, and I'm a banker, and I'm a this and a that, and a, you know, a horse owner and a dog owner. And, you know, I think about all the things I am, but you know what mostly I am? I'm a child of God. And that's who we really are. That's what it all boils down to when you think about who you really are. You are a child of God, and if you know someone that's not, that's your mission in life. That's who you are. You're a child of God to take that word out and to let all of them know. Because you know what? There are people that are dying every day that don't know the Lord. And that breaks my heart, because He has all this wonderful, marvelous love for us, and we need to spread that so we can have everybody that we know or that we don't know be a child of God. How wonderful is that? You look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, and see what it talks about. How much the Lord loves us, how much the Lord has shared that love with us. He gave His only Son. How much more could He do? You are a child of God. That's who you really are. That's what you're all about. And I love you.
Loving my soul.
Julie Lux. She had to be out of town today, so Catherine and I are filling in for her. And what we're going to sing is actually in Latin, but it is from Andrew Lloyd Webber's Requiem Mass. And we do believe it's very fitting for today because it's the passion of the Pope. So this is perfect. It is actually the words mean, or in Latin, or the translation of is, Merciful Jesus, who takest away the sins of the world, grant them rest. O Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, grant them eternal rest.
According to Mark, we will read the words of institution today from the 14th chapter and beginning with verse 22. Jesus had met with the disciples to celebrate the Passover. Remember the escape from Egypt. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." We see from that reading that Jesus instituted this meal, this sacrament, something He has done for us. And it's His table. And it's His supper. And thus we invite all of His people to eat and drink, remembering His body broken for you to pay for your sin and mine. His blood shed for you for the remission or the removing of that sin. The elders will come forward. The active elders who are present this morning, the 1, 2, 3, 4, additional 1, 5, 6, 7. This is one way to introduce you again or to remind you these are your active elders. We have 2 more with us in the 8 o'clock service. I need 2 more elders, 1 more elder to come and assist this morning. John, you're close. Will you come? John is an elder, but he has rotated off for the session after serving his 3 years. And we welcome you and thank you for coming and being ministers or priests of the Lord. Presbyterians take seriously the passage of Scripture that talks about all believers are to work in serving one another, thus being a priest to fellow Christians and to others who are not Christians. Let us offer thanks. Lord God, we come before You this morning lifting this bread, Lord, thanking You for You sending Your Son Jesus to give His body in payment for our sin. We know, O Lord, something of how He suffered. And we know from Your word, O Lord, that He died, death being the penalty of sin. And Lord, He spoke of being forsaken of You, our sin separating Him from You for a time. And Lord God, we thank You this morning for that great sacrifice that He made for us. But He made it into a sacrament for our way of remembering. Bless this bread, O God. Bless it that it might truly be meaningful to us. How much You love us. In Christ's name. Amen. And Lord God, for the cup, the fruit of the vine, representing the blood of Christ shed for us, a new covenant, a covenant of grace. And Lord, we thank You for it today. And as we partake, we remember His shed blood, shed for the remission of our sins. In His name we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen. And having been blessed, allow me to be a blessing to you, and likewise, you to the fellow elders.
partaken of the cup, remembering my forgiveness, I offer you the cup that you might remember your forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And serve your fellow elder. The elders will share with the people of God the blessings of God. Salvation, eternal life, represented in these elements. Eat and drink. Remember Christ's sacrifice for you. Again, O God, we offer our humble thanks for your love for us in this way that you've shown us and this opportunity to celebrate. Amen.
We now express our thanks to God with the presentation of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Our offertory sentence this morning is taken from the 100th Psalm, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. If the ushers would please come forward. Scripture reading this morning is very evident of that. It's one of the most ultimate examples of what, when the Lord speaks to you, what He might ask you to do. It's Exodus chapter 3. It's printed in your bulletin, or you can follow along in your Bible. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came back to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames from a fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire and that it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land, from the hand of the Egyptians, and bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, be the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel, and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and that I have promised you to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will say to you, Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you pass unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch my hand out and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians." The word of God for the people of God.
Praise you, God.
Thank you all for your participation this morning. You see, Rhett mentioned it. The title for the sermon is Called to Service. If you've got a handout, an outline, you may see other possible titles. After I chose and we printed a call to service, either God revealed to me or I thought of, and I wouldn't claim to think that seriously, other possible titles that might speak to us this morning from this passage. One other title might be Three Objections to the Call of God. How many objections have you offered to God's call for you to do something? Another possible title could be Three Reasons I Can't Do It. Pretty simple, pretty plain, pretty understandable. Three reasons I can't do what you ask. One, two, three. That's what basically Moses said. Or another one might be, Lord, I am not your man. That means you've got to get somebody else. Or another title, it could be in two parts, The Reluctant Witness. Or the other part, The Reluctant Servant. And you can probably go on with others if you would reread the passage and reread it again. Not only the third chapter, but chapter 2, 3, and 4. Wednesday night, I'll call your attention. We will study 1, 2, 3, and 4. Kind of a different approach to looking at this. But consider this morning that God had a job He wanted done. So He calls an 80-year-old man to do it. Now, we who are under 80 say, boy, when I get that old, I want to rest. But some 80-year-olds are just raring to go. They still want something to do. And some who are approaching 80 are saying, I hope they don't turn me out when I get 80. God had a job to do, and He called an 80-year-old man to do it. His name was Moses. God heard the groanings of His people. His people were in bondage in Egypt. They had been treated favorably. But over 400 years, two races clashed. And the people in power began to become fearful of those who were multiplying so rapidly that they would take over. So the people in power began to persecute, make more demands on the sojourners there, the visitors. They had been there for a long time, but they were still aware that that was not the place that they were supposed to be. They were supposed to be back in Canaan, that land flowing with milk and honey. And they had grain when the famine came to Israel. A famine came to the land flowing with milk and honey. And Egypt had had grain, and the Israelites had gone there to live. But now, it wasn't a land flowing with milk and honey. That was way out there. Kind of like heaven to us. And they were being persecuted, and they were groaning, and they were hurting. And God heard their groanings. He saw them serving as slaves in Egypt. And He chose Moses to lead this people to freedom. There had been about 70 who went from land of Canaan to Egypt. There were somewhere near 600,000 that Moses was to lead out. If you will, if you want to make this personal, put this experience in the context of the work to be done in today's world, or the tasks that are to be performed or that need to be performed by God's people in today's world. God had a job for somebody to do way back then. God still has jobs for His people to do. And then bring it home. Bring it real home and put this in the context, if you will, of the job that God is calling Deacon's Church to do. What is He calling us to do? What are we about? Is there anything other than meeting and greeting and reading and going home? And coming back and doing that. Is there anything special that He is calling us to do? And that's an important part. The meeting, the greeting, the reading, and the going home. think about also, or put this in the context that he wants done through this church, and to be really, really, really personal, put this in the context of what God wants you to do. Can you put your place, yourself, in the place where Moses was in this passage from God's Holy Word? Can you make it relevant to you today? Okay? God has a job to do, and He has you in mind to do it. Can you think of that? That God has you in mind to do the job that He wants done. A job. Now, everybody will want to do the same job. Okay? He has a job for you and another job for somebody else. Or you might get together, two or three of you, or five or six of you, or 150 of us, to do the job. Now, remember Moses' job. Moses' job was to lead the Israelites out of bondage, out of Egypt, to the promised land. It wouldn't be an easy job. When God calls us to do a job, it might be a very simple job, but it might be a very, very difficult one. It might be a short-term job, and it might be a lifetime job. But one thing we know about Moses is that Moses was qualified. Moses was qualified to go and lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And he had to get permission from the Egyptian authorities. And Moses had been trained in Egyptian life. He had been trained. You remember the story how he was left in the basket because the Pharaoh was having all of the male Israelite babies killed at birth. And Moses was spared. And Pharaoh's daughter found him and took him home to raise him as her own. But she had to have a caretaker. And Moses' mother got to be the one to care for Moses. But he had been raised among royalty as far as the Egyptians were concerned. He knew how to talk to kings. He had been so trained. Now you say, I'm not trained to do a job for God. Well, if He calls you, He will train you. He'll make it possible for you to become trained or qualified. He can assist you in your qualifying. God will not call us to do something that we can't do. I don't think you'll find any place in the Bible He ever called someone to do something that He didn't qualify them to do. If they were not able when He called them, He enabled them to be qualified. He trained them. Even the 12 disciples, 11 of them, they were not qualified when He first called them. But after He was gone, they were well qualified. And we see it in the example of Peter as he preached on Pentecost Day, recorded in the second chapter of Acts. So Moses was qualified. Acts chapter 7, Stephen was giving his great sermon right before he was stoned. And he mentioned Moses, how God had called Moses, but Moses knew how to go and witness to or talk to the Egyptian authorities because he had been trained in their way. Now I've elaborated a little on that passage. It's Acts chapter 7, verse 22. And even Stephen in New Testament days remembered that. This job that Moses was called to do was a job for God. It wasn't a job for Moses himself. It wasn't a job because the people asked him. It was a job that God called him to do. The God of Moses' ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God keeps identifying himself as the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses' ancestors. It was a holy work that God called him to do. A holy work. As you notice, when Moses came near the burning bush, God said, take your shoes off because of your own holy ground. And friends, when God calls us to do something, it's a holy work. It's God's work. And He wants to use us. He wants to work through us. He needs mouthpieces. He needs arms and legs, and He needs our bodies. But He has given us. He's the Creator. Did we not read that? In our song for our call to worship. The job was a job that God wanted to do. They were going to work for God. But Moses offers some objections. Actually, he offers three objections. Three reasons I can't go. Three reasons I'm not your man. Three reasons I'm so reluctant to go. What were they? One of them was, who will I tell them sent me? God gave him an answer. God gave him an answer. And I have preached on this before, but this week I made a new discovery. If you read and reread and reread again and read far enough, you'll make a new discovery many times. And I did this week. Moses wanted to know, said, who am I going to tell them send me if I go and lead these Israelites to lead them out? Who are you working for, Moses? And God answered him. God says, tell them the I Am sent you. The I Am. But you know, I can't find a place, and I may have overlooked it. And I didn't read every word in the Bible to this week to figure this out. That would have been, you know, an all-consuming week with it. But I skimmed through Exodus, at least. I didn't find one place where the Israelites ever asked Moses, now, who is it that sent you to lead us out of here? He was worried about something that never happened. But I did find one verse. It is in chapter 4. So this sermon is chapter 3 and chapter 4. I guess we thought chapter 3 was long enough to read for the scripture lesson. Okay? Chapter 4, verse 31. And I've got the Message paraphrase. But I think you can get the message from the Message paraphrase and read it. And this is, Moses had gone to the people, and they rounded up the leaders of Israel. And verse 30, they said, Aaron told them everything that God had told Moses and demonstrated the wonders before the people. And then verse 31 of chapter 4 says, no one, it doesn't say that anyone ever asked Moses who sent him. But here's what it says. And the people trusted, and they listened believingly that God was concerned with what was going on with the Israelites and knew about their affliction. They bowed low and they worshiped. So Moses was asking a question, and God even went ahead and answered it for him. God could have said, don't have to be concerned about that, Moses, but God prepared Moses in case they did ask that question. But they never asked it, as we can tell, as I can tell. If you find it, please share it with me, because I don't want to be wrong the next time I try to bring this message. But they listened. They trusted Moses and Aaron. So the first one, who would I tell them sent me? Tell them that I am sent me. But they never asked. Because the question was, if they ask, who will I tell them sent me? And then Moses says, they won't trust me. The second objection is, they won't trust me. And you have to go to chapter 4 to find this. But in chapter 4, it's all about a snake. It's all about a snake. And again, I got the paraphrase. Moses objected. They won't trust me. That's how chapter 4 begins. They won't listen to a word I say. They're going to say, God appeared to him? Hardly. That was Moses' feeling. But God says, what's that in your hand, Moses? And Moses said, why, it's a staff. And God says, throw it on the ground. So Moses was wise enough to obey God. If he hadn't obeyed him, he might have got snake bit. So God said, throw it on the ground. And so he threw it down. And it became a snake. That staff became a snake. And Moses jumped back real fast. I'm sure he was glad he didn't hold on to it, because God may have turned it to a snake while it was in his hand. He could have, you know. And God said to Moses, now reach out and grab it by the tail. And I can hear Moses now saying, I don't pick up snakes. But he reached out and grabbed it, and he was holding his staff again. And then verse 5 says, that's so they will trust that God appeared to you. If you can do that, you've got to have God with you. And the God of their fathers. And then he repeats, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then God don't leave him there. So he gives him another thing that he can show the people. He said, put your hand in your coat. I'm sure it wasn't like this one, but he said, put your hand in your coat. So Moses stuck his hand in his coat. And God said, put it out and look at it. And when he took it out and looked at it, it had turned leprous. It was white and leprous. And God said, put your hand back in your coat. So he stuck it back in there. And then he took it out again. And it was clean again. It was well. It wasn't leprous anymore. But God goes ahead and God gives him a third example. He said, now Moses, if they don't believe you in these two miracles, I'll give you something else. Says, when you get back over to Egypt, get some water out of the Nile River. Go get some water out of the Nile and dip it up and take it and pour it on the ground. And said, when you pour it on the ground, it's going to turn to blood. The Nile water that you pour out will turn to blood when it hits the ground. So God answered his three, gave him three examples. So the people would trust him. And then Moses still wouldn't go. And this is when he came up, but God, Master, please, I don't talk very well. I've never been good with words. Neither before nor after you spoke to me. I stutter and I stammer. God, I'm sure he's getting a little irritated with Moses now. I can see it now, the third time around. And God said, and who do you think made the human mouth, Moses? And who makes some people mute and some people deaf and some people sighted and some blind? Isn't it I, God? So get going, Moses. In other words, shut up and get out of here and go do what I've called you to do. Can y'all understand that? Can I understand that? Get going. I'll be. This is the important part. Maybe the most important statement I've made this morning, or will make. God says, I'll be right there with you. Moses wasn't having to go by himself. All Moses was an instrument in God's hand. I will be right there with you. With your mouth. I'll be right there, Moses, to teach you what to say. And what did Moses say? Oh, Master, please, send somebody else. So God, being as patient as he is, but he wasn't patient right immediately. God got angry with Moses. And he said to him, don't you have a brother? God already knew that. Don't you have a brother, Aaron, the Levite? Well, Moses was the Levite too. Your brother is good with words. That's what God says. Your brother's good. I know he is. Your brother speaks very well. In fact, at this very moment, he's on the way to meet you. And you speak to him, Moses, and tell him what to say. And then that other phrase again, I'll be right there with you as you speak, and with Him as He speaks, teaching you step by step, leading you every step of the way, Moses. What's Moses afraid of? No more than what we're afraid of, though, is it? Now, take you. He will speak to the people. He'll act as your mouth. But you'll decide what comes out of it. Now, take your staff in your hand. You know that staff that turned to a snake. Take your staff in your hand. You'll use it to do the signs. And so Moses finally goes. But it took him a while. It took him a while. It wasn't an easy task that God called Moses to perform. He had to go in front of rulers of nations or religion. And God said, Pharaoh's going to be stubborn. And he's not going to readily say, okay, you can go. He's going to be difficult to deal with. Chapter 3, verse 12, God says to Moses, I will be with you. You know, I believe that our job right here, our jobs right here, are just as important for God's kingdom as Moses' job was. Moses was supposed to free the Israelites and lead them to the promised land. We're supposed to free people from sin. Act as God's agents to free them from sin and lead them to eternity. That's an important job. And we may have this part to do and somebody else has that part, and we put all our parts together and we make up the whole body and we get the job done. We're going to sing Free. And if we're going to do God's work, we better have Him walking close to us. Or we better be walking close to Him. The number is 380 and the song is, it's a commitment. It's a prayer. Lord, let me walk closer to you. And it can be interpreted as, Lord, come and walk real close to me. Be with me. And we're going to sing the first and the second verse of 380. You may have a public response to make. Somebody asked me the other day, do we have a lot of people walking the aisles? Telephone conversation. I said, we don't have a lot of people walking the aisles, but I trust. I trust. I don't know. But I trust that people are making commitments to the Lord right there where they're seated. Walking the aisle is important. Public profession. But also a Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. New commitment to the Lord as He speaks to us. And I hope He's spoken to us this morning. Let's stand together and sing 380, verse 1 and 2. And maybe you have a public response. Maybe you want to walk that aisle this morning. But if you feel that you can make your commitment to the Lord and surrender to do the job that He is calling you to do right where you are, that's between you and Him. And I encourage you to do that also.
Oh,
that you have work for us to do, that you will call us and trust us, but you should also go with us. Motivate us. Move us. In Christ's name.